Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
Best of the week. If you missed the shows, this is the one to listen to. It's a selection of highlights from the past week on the Big Breakfast with Mutto and Margo on Triple M. I really believe that this show has the best listeners that there are, and you contribute amazing stories. Lots of questions Mutto and Margo asked this week, including what are your underwhelming travel destinations? When have you had to give CPR? How long did you have it before you broke it? And so much more. Margo also went through Mutto's voicemails again, plays of the week, a bit of a reaction to another disappointing Broncos loss. It's all coming up in this podcast. Enjoy.
All right, Mutto, hand it over.
Right.
Give me your phone. It's time. It's that time again.
Be careful with it.
1,058 unlistened to messages
See,
on your voicemail.
Everyone's getting the message. That's only gone up by 50 in the last few weeks.
When someone answers your voicemail, they ring you to get in touch with you. What does your voicemail tell them?
I don't answer voicemail.
Says,
Send
I don't,
me a text.
I don't
Send me
answer
a text.
The voicemail. Send me a text. So people are starting to cotton on to this. But there still are a few unlistened ones that I thought maybe we should see who's trying to get in touch with Mutto.
Message received Wednesday, 8:05 p.m.
Hello, Mutto. It's Camilla here, dear. I just wanted to put a bet in on that new thing that you've done called Lilybet. And I'd like to place a bet for that little wranger, Harry, not being Charles's actual son. Daddy belongs to James Hewitt, I reckon. I'd like to put down £10, please.
Message received Thursday, 6:18 a.m.
Yes, hello, it's Prince Andrew here. I'd just like to bet that I'm not going to break into a sweat. I don't sweat. I don't sweat. I don't. I'm betting on it.
Message received Sunday, 12:21 p.m.
Yes, hello, Lilybet. It's Prince Charles here. I would like to place a wager on Meghan being involved in a motor vehicle accident. And please don't tell Mummy that I'm gambling my pocket money.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Very confronting scenes over the weekend, Mutto, when Denmark and Finland came head-to-head in a soccer match over in Copenhagen, where one of their players, star players, Christian Eriksen, collapsed and was rallied around by his teammates, having been given 13 minutes worth of CPR on the field.
Now, they reported back later, cardiac arrest. So he had a heart attack. This highly tuned athlete must have had a congenital heart disease of some sort. He was there and people were crying.
Yeah, it was terribly confronting scenes. Captain Simon Kjær came to his aid, turned him on his side, cleared his airway so that the paramedics could come in and perform CPR.
Pretty amazing.
Terribly confronting scenes. There's been some backlash over the BBC's coverage
saying
that they should have cut back to the studio. However, they continued to comment. The commentary team continued to commentate the scenes that they were seeing in front of them while they filmed him being resuscitated
Did
on the
see
field.
All the Denmark players
the Danish
surrounded
players.
Him. Yeah, the Danish players surrounded him so the cameras couldn't see what
couldn't
was going on.
Couldn't see what
on.
Was going on in behind
and
there.
And they got a blanket and put around him. Yeah,
yeah, terribly frightening. And they
Miracle.
Were very distressed because they thought that they had witnessed one of their teammates, one of their best friends,
he was gone.
Die. Potentially.
He was gone.
He was gone. And Christian Eriksen has since come out and sent his teammates a group text on WhatsApp saying, I'm all good. Thanks for the concern, but I'm okay. And he, a couple of his teammates have visited him in hospital. But confronting scenes having to, I don't know how I would react in that situation, but we see it in rugby league all the time where players are concussed or knocked out and they go to sleep and you have to check on them and turn them over so that they don't choke, open their airwaves, clear their airwaves. But never having to have perform CPR, I've not yet had to do it. I have four kids. We have a pool. I thought maybe, you know, at some stage in my lifetime, that might be something that might come across my desk as a mother.
Well, you've got to be careful if you haven't done it before. You've got to make sure you're compressing
the right spot.
First up, can I tell you, twice I've done it, and neither time did I have to. Both times when I release the tongue and you get bitten, and you're pulling the tongue out because it's locked on really tight, okay?
Yep.
As you're pulling the tongue out, they bite you on that. When they come to, they start biting you because they're worried someone's attacking them. It's a natural response. that both times got lacerations on my fingers, but they both went bang. They came back to it straight away. I've never had to press. So make sure everyone goes 30 times, pretty quickly, okay? 30 times and then two breaths.
So you've never had to perform CPR
to it,
as such, but you've had to clear. Trained
when I was 18 or so.
It's something that maybe that we should look at being.
God, yeah. I haven't done a practice of it since I was 18. I only cleared the airway twice and it cured both of them.
Well, your first aid course is something I think should be a part of every parent's criteria and requirement.
Should be at school.
Should be at school. We should learn it.
Math.
But I've never had to give it. I don't know anyone that has had to give it. I'm sure there's been a moment in time where someone has had to respond relatively quickly and give CPR before an ambulance gets there. Tanya from Narangba, you've called through on 133353. Have you had to perform CPR?
Yes, I have. I had to do it on my daughter when she was 18 months old.
Tanya, had you been trained or you just seen other people do it or seen it on telly? What was the story?
No, I did the first aid course.
Yeah, right.
I was the first aid officer at my former work. And, there was a virus going around our town and the kids were more affected than the adults. And she actually turned blue.
Oh, Jesus.
So I was on the front passenger seat while my ex-husband was driving us, racing us to the hospital. And I resuscitated her in time. And when we got to the hospital, they just said, oh, no, she's fine. And I said, no, she's not. And I went right off it. Yeah, they told me she had.
But had you not had that skill set, it could have been a potentially different outcome. Obviously, your daughter survived that, did she? How old is she now, Tanya?
She is 24, and she actually has a congenital heart disease.
And that's what had happened.
It wasn't due to that, though. So
found that out in that moment off the back of that?
No, she was born with it, and my doctor told us when she was only 2 days old.
Oh, God, righto. Hey, Tanya, can we just go back to Tanya briefly? Do you remind her of that most days?
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah, good.
Definitely.
So you get
every
the upper hand.
Every time I look at her.
Yeah, exactly. Aww,
it's beautiful.
You owe your life to me more than any other mum.
Andrew from Jacob's Well, good morning.
Hey, g'day, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good. We're talking about having to perform CPR. Marto and I have never been confronted with having to do the resuscitation. Have you?
We have. I was going to say unfortunately, but it is a bit of a situation, a bit of an eye-opener when you have to do it. But we actually, I think it was last year, pulled a young four-year-old boy out of the water who was unconscious, and CPR got him back to life. And it's a bit of an incident, but without the training, I mean.
Oh, so you were trained, Andrew?
Yeah, I've done the course several times. I'm an electrician, so we have to have it. But one of the gentlemen that we were with, he'd actually done it the week before, so that was reassuring to know it had been that fresh and that, it was in our mind.
Andrew, you said you've done it several times. Is it something that you need to update regularly, is it, first aid courses?
Well, I've never done trade, one, so. For our trade, we have to have it. But realistically, I mean, once you do it two or three times, it never leaves your mind. Mm. It's always there. Like I said, this young fellow we pulled out, he was gone. He had foam coming out of his mouth. He wasn't breathing or any pulse. It took about 2 to 5 minutes, can't quite recall, to bring him back.
Mm.
But the one thing I would say is that if you're in a situation, act as soon as you think you should. We obviously debriefed and spoke about it a lot, and we all could have reacted quicker if, you hesitate in a situation. But, if you see a young person in trouble, just go as quick as you can.
Nice, Andrew.
Marto, I think you and I, because I've never done a first aid course, and I think it's imperative that all...
I think you should do it because I'm closer to death than you are. You need to know how to revive
me. I might need to resuscitate you here in the studio one day.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
You know these travel voucher stories? Yeah, we've been doing it here in Queensland for about a month or so, handing out, you can have half of your, you can have a $100 voucher to go and see a tourism thing. It started at the Whitsundays and around Cairns to support all their
Far
businesses
North
up
tourism,
and go.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now they've expanded it to Australia-wide. I think they're giving Melbourne a bit of a boost.
Australia have just given out $50 travel vouchers to help via Travello. I know 30,000 travel vouchers were offered to boost Gold Coast tourism.
Yep.
$100 each.
Now, Can I think that sometimes we're boosting things which maybe shouldn't be boosted anymore? Like there's some tourist attractions where you go, no, let it go. Let it go. Don't give people vouchers. And then they go there and go, well, that was horrible. Mm. Like the Great Ocean Road. The 12 apostles, there's only about four of them left. Like, who wants to go and see that? Oh, well, there used to be another eight. They all fell into the sea.
Marto, you're always banging on about the Cape. Is it the
Cape York?
Cape York. It's not that great once you get there.
I haven't been there. I haven't been past Cooktown, but
you've
I
heard
believe
it's rubbish.
It. Well, that's what I'd hate to think.
Quite an effort to get there.
Here's a voucher going for a drive up there, and then you go, is that this? I know when you get old, people are really happy with little country towns, but sometimes you go for a long drive and you go, oh, the Big Pineapple, I haven't been up there for a while, but you can't tell me if I get a voucher, is it even still open?
If I'm really honest, we've done a lot of overseas travel in our time, and it doesn't look like the international borders are going to open anytime soon. The rate that we're vaccinating people, I think we're up to 700,000, like, come on.
We're a bit slow.
We're not going anywhere anytime soon, and so we're really going to actually have to take up the offer to travel in our own backyard. I've never been to WA, I've never been to the Northern Territory, I've never been to South Australia, I've only ever been to Sydney and Melbourne. I did the Great Ocean Road on the back of a Harley.
Oh, you've been there.
It was hard work.
Was it underwhelming?
It was a little bit underwhelming. I mean, it is the landscape is very beautiful.
I went to Bell's Beach one day.
And there was lots of roadworks and lots of tourists stopping in the middle of the road to take photos of koalas. Pull over to the side, you idiots.
You would have gone past Bell's Beach. It was a paddock and there was a beach on the bottom. We got so much better stuff than that. The other one, I went to New Zealand once and it was like the Northern Ireland near Mount Ruapehu, I think. There was the town near there had a carrot and it was called the Big Carrot. It was only about 3.5 metres high.
I haven't done much
underwhelming.
Travel. I haven't done much travel here in Australia. No. But tell us where not to go.
Well, the Big Banana. It could be
could
so
be
much
bigger.
Bigger. Could be bigger.
Underwhelming destinations that you've been to. Somebody talked it up and said, oh, you got to go here. And then you got there and it was like, is that it?
I've got another one. Ballina, the big prawn was at the servo, like you used to go past it all the time on the main highway. They moved the highway, they bypassed Ballina. It's now at the front of Bunnings. Mm. Like the big prawn, is it? That's underwhelming. Oh, I've always wanted it. Is that Bunnings? Like it?
Underwhelming Australian destinations. Yeah, tell us where not to go.
Yeah, warn everybody. Give us a hand.
133353 or text us on Marto's burner phone 0484 101045. Surface
like
Paradise, would you say? Lots of people are like, oh, go to Surface Paradise. There's nothing left there anymore.
Underwhelming.
Go further down the coast. Go down to Keir or Burleigh or beautiful spots like Broadbeach even is nice.
Hold on. I don't mind Nicola's on the burner phone. Bondi Beach, what a waste of a bus journey. We've got better beaches an hour from Brisbane. Southbank Beach is better than Bondi.
Southbank.
That's bloody right. That is so true. Thanks,
Matt
Nicola.
From Fernie Hills, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Yeah. How are you both?
Yeah, good. 133353, travel destinations you don't really want to go to.
Like underwhelming. Did you turn up somewhere?
I agree with the Bondi Beach. When I used to live at Woollahra, it's massively overrated. But if you drive down the Hume Highway, you'll see a sign for the dog in the tucker box, a Gundagai.
Yeah.
Driving, guys. Keep driving.
Yeah. Now,
what is a dog on a tucker box?
Matt, there was a quiz question the other day, and we had the dog on the tucker box. What town's it in? Now, the truth is, it's not even. It's a dog who wouldn't leave his master had died, and he just stayed next to his lunch like his esky.
That's right.
But it's not even in the town.
But why
is it,
do you
Matt?
Want to go and see that?
No, it's like it's at a stop in like a drive and survive rest stop.
It's where you have a wee.
The Hume Highway. You have to get off out of your way to get there.
Yeah.
You get there and you're like,
this is it. So if I offered you a travel voucher to go to Gundagai, Matt, what would you say?
No, thanks.
Keep it.
Okay, gotcha.
Steve from Eden's Hill, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah, good. We've heard Bondi Beach. We've heard Dog on the Tucker Pox. Service Paradise. Don't even bother. Where else should we not bother going to?
If you decide to drive down the New England Highway to Sydney instead of the Pacific Highway, there's a little town between Tenterfield and Armidale called Glen Innes.
Yeah, I know it.
Now, in Glen Innes, they got these things called standing stones. I think they're trying to take the mickey out of Stonehenge.
There's
a whole bunch of stones in this bloody cold town. It's like minus 12 degrees. You're standing there looking at these stones going,
Right.
That's it. Standing stones.
Do you hug them? Do you?
Don't even bother.
Now, Steve, just think about Stonehenge. There's annual pilgrimages there, and really all it is a bunch of derelict. Everything's fallen over, like Roman ruins. What do you think about Roman ruins, Steve? Would you ever go and look at one of those? Like, it used to be good.
Oh, well, Roman ruins I would, but, Stonehenge has got that. sending stones in Glen Innes. Okay. Got nothing.
I was giving him a chance to leave Glen Innes alone for a sec, but he's gone doubled up.
I flew into Cairns once to drive to Mission Beach, and I was really glad I was driving out of Cairns to go to Mission Beach because it doesn't look like there's much in Cairns either.
That's interesting. And
is
I know
Cairns like the point that you get to go to all the islands off the top of...
That is so true. It is the entry point and then
to
disperse.
Port Douglas.
Yeah, get out of there.
What about on the Burnerphone, Adam, the Great Barrier Reef, more like slightly better than average Barrier Reef.
Oh, my God. And Greenies are going to stone, Adam, for that. That one?
He said Byron Bay is the most overrated place in Australia, a glorified swamp filled with Australia's most insufferable people, i.e. anti-vaxxers and bong lords.
Jesus.
He says, nuke the joint.
What happened to Alan in Byron Bay? He had
he had a bad experience.
Wow.
Chucky from Buchan, take us home, 13353.
Chucky.
Where not to visit in Australia? What's the most overwhelming or underwhelming destination you've been to?
1770.
Oh, now listen, I've never stopped off there. It's where
Don't bother. I went up there 25 years ago. Gravel road for miles and miles and miles.
Well, it might have changed a little bit since then, Chucky.
The tide was out, mud flat. Then you have to go up the lookout or the spot where Captain Cook, the monument where Captain Cook landed.
Yeah.
It was about 3 foot tall, covered in 6 foot weeds, a little bit of barbed wire up around it. What a joke.
I'm sure they've probably improved it. I hope. No, I'm not going.
That was 25 years ago. Yeah. Maybe they've paved over the road and maybe the tide's coming.
Yeah. You know these travel voucher stories? Yeah, we've been doing it here in Queensland for about a month or so. Handing out, you can have half of your, you can have a $100 voucher to go and see a tourism thing. It started at the Whitsundays and around Cairns to support all their businesses.
Tourism,
Yeah, and now they've expanded it to Australia-wide. I think they're giving Melbourne a bit of a boost.
Australia have just given out $50 travel vouchers to help via Travello. I know 30,000 travel vouchers were offered to boost Gold Coast tourism, $100 each.
Now, can I think that sometimes we're boosting things which maybe shouldn't be boosted anymore? Like there's some tourist attractions where you go, no, let it go. Let it go. Don't give people vouchers. And then they go there and go, well, that was horrible. Mm. Like the Great Ocean Road, the 12 Apostles, there's only about four of them left. Like who wants to go and see that? Oh, well, there used to be another eight. They all fell into the sea.
Marto, you're always banging on about the Cape. Is it the
Cape York?
Cape York. It's not that great once you get there.
I haven't been there. I haven't been past Cooktown, but
you've
I believe
it's rubbish.
It. Well, that's what I'd hate to think.
Quite an effort to get there.
Here's a voucher going for a drive up there, and then you go, is that this? I know when you must when you get old, people are really happy with little country towns, but sometimes you go for a long drive and you go, oh, the Big Pineapple, I haven't been up there for a while, but you can't tell me if I get a voucher, is it even still open?
If I'm really honest, we've done a lot of overseas travel in our time, and it doesn't look like the international borders are going to open anytime soon. The rate that we're vaccinating people, I think we're up to 700,000, like, come on.
We're a bit slow.
We're not going anywhere anytime soon, and so we're really going to actually have to take up the offer to travel in our own backyard. I've never been to WA, I've never been to the Northern Territory, I've never been to South Australia, I've only ever been to Sydney and Melbourne. I did the Great Ocean Road on the back of a Harley.
Oh, you've been there.
It was hard work.
Was it underwhelming?
It was a little bit underwhelming. I mean, it is the landscape is very beautiful.
I went to Bell's Beach one day.
And there was lots of roadworks and lots of tourists stopping in the middle of the road to take photos of koalas. Pull over to the side, you idiot.
You would have gone past Bell's Beach. It was a paddock and there was a beach on the bottom. We got so much better stuff than that. The other one, I went to New Zealand once and it was like the Northern Ireland near Mount Ruapehu, I think. There was the town near there had a carrot and it was called the Big Carrot. It was only about 3.5 metres high.
I haven't done much
underwhelming.
Travel. I haven't done much travel here in Australia. No. But tell us where not to go.
Oh, the Big Banana. It could be
could be bigger.
Could be bigger.
Underwhelming destinations that you've been to. Somebody talked it up and said, oh, you got to go here. And then you got there and it was like, is that it?
I've got another one. Ballina, the big prawn was at the servo, like you used to go past it all the time on the main highway. They moved the highway, they bypassed Ballina. It's now at the front of Bunnings. Like the big prawn, is it? That's underwhelming. Oh, I've always wanted it. Is that Bunnings? Like it?
Underwhelming Australian destinations. Yeah, tell us where not to go.
Yeah, warn everybody. Give us a hand.
133353 or text us on Marto's burner phone 0484 101045. Surface
like
Paradise. Would you say lots of people are like, oh, go to Surface Paradise? There's nothing left there anymore.
Underwhelming.
Go further down the coast. Go down to Kira or Burleigh or beautiful spots like Broadbeach. Even is nice.
Hold on. I don't mind Nicola's on the burner phone. Bondi Beach. What a waste of a bus journey. We've got better beaches an hour from Brisbane. Southbank Beach is better than Bondi.
Southbank.
That's bloody right. That is so true. Thanks,
Matt
Nicola.
From Fernie Hills, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Yeah. How are you both?
Yeah, good. 133353, travel destinations you don't really want to go to.
Like underwhelming. Did you turn up somewhere?
I agree with the Bondi Beach. When I used to live at Woollahra, it's massively overrated. But yeah. If you drive down the Hume Highway, you'll see a sign for the dog in the tucker box, a Gundagai.
Yeah.
Driving, guys. Keep driving.
Yeah. Now,
what is a dog on a tucker box?
Matt, there was a quiz question the other day, and we had the dog on the tucker box. What town's it in? Now, the truth is, it's not even. It's a dog who wouldn't leave his master had died, and he just stayed next to his lunch like his esky.
That's right.
But it's not even in the town, is it, Matt?
Why do you want to go and see
that? No, it's like it's at a stop in like a drive and survive rest stop.
It's where you have a wee.
Off the Hume Highway. You have to get off out of your way to get there.
Yeah.
You get there and you're like, oh,
is this it? So if I offered you a travel voucher to go to Gundagai, Matt, what would you say?
No thanks.
Keep it. Okay, gotcha. Steve from Eden's Hill, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah, good. We've heard Bondi Beach. We've heard Dog on the Tucker Box. Service Paradise. Don't even bother. Where else should we not bother going to?
If you decide to drive down the New England Highway to Sydney instead of the Pacific Highway, there's a little town between Tenterfield and Armidale called Glen Innes.
Yeah, I know it.
Now, in Glen Innes, they've got these things called standing stones. I think they're trying to take the mickey out of Stonehenge.
There's
a whole bunch of stones in this bloody cold town. It's like minus 12 degrees. You're standing there looking at these stones going,
Right.
That's it. Standing stones.
Do you hug them?
Don't even bother.
Now, Steve, just think about Stonehenge. There's annual pilgrimages there, and really all it is a bunch of derelict. Everything's fallen over, like Roman ruins. What do you think about Roman ruins, Steve? Would you ever go and look at one of those? Like, it used to be good.
Oh, well, Roman ruins I would, but, Stonehenge has got that. Yeah. Standing stones in Glen Innes. Okay. Nothing.
I was giving him a chance to leave Glen Innes alone for a sec, but he's gone doubled up.
I flew into Cairns once to drive to Mission Beach, and I was really glad I was driving out of Cairns to go to Mission Beach because it doesn't look like there's much in Cairns either.
That's interesting. And
I know Cairns like the point that you get to go to all the islands off the top of?
That is so true. It is the entry point and then
to
disperse.
Port Douglas.
Get out of there.
What about on the burner phone, Adam? The Great Barrier Reef, more like slightly better than average Barrier Reef.
Oh, my God.
And Alan from Maroochydore.
He's going to stone Adam for that. One?
He said Byron Bay is the most overrated place in Australia, a glorified swamp filled with Australia's most insufferable people, i.e. anti-vaxxers and bong lords.
Jesus.
He says, nuke the joint.
What happened to Alan in Byron Bay?
He had a bad experience.
Wow.
Chucky from Buchan, take us home, 133353.
Chucky.
Where not to visit in Australia? What's the most overwhelming or underwhelming destination you've been to?
1770.
Oh, now listen, I've never stopped off there. It's where
Don't bother. I went up there 25 years ago. Gravel road for miles and miles and miles.
Well, it might have changed a little bit since then, Chucky.
The tide was out, mud flat. Then you have to go up the lookout or the spot where Captain Cook, the monument where Captain Cook landed.
Yeah.
It was about 3 foot tall, covered in 6 foot weeds, a little bit of barbed wire around it. What a joke.
I'm sure they've probably improved it. I hope. No, I'm not going.
That was 25 years ago. Yeah. Maybe they've paved over the road and maybe the tide's coming.
Yeah.
Triple M's Big Breakfast. Corey's going around the house. Stock is Margo's busy. Parking orders.
Time for At Home with Parkers.
I had a very upset little boy the other night, Marto. Wiley, our 10-year-old, of course, I told you last weekend, fractured his thumb playing rugby union for school. It's now put him out on the sideline for potentially up to 4 weeks. The doctor said 6, Corey said 2, so let's go somewhere in the middle, hey?
Whenever. So often those things fall off your arm and you're fake.
But he had his school rugby union presentation where they give out the awards.
Season over.
For the season, and they celebrate. celebrate the end of the term, rugby union games. And it was a really nice little event. They put on Subway for the kids and cookies, and they all got a bag filled with a drink
bottle.
I love
how they do that now.
Yeah, it's really, really good. And they gave out two awards. So they have a year 3-4 team and then a year 5-6 team. Mm. And Wiley, of course, being in grade 5, is a part of that year 5-6 team. And this was his first year of rugby union for the school, so pretty exciting, but obviously disappointed to end the game, the last game, with a try and a broken thumb.
Oh, so that happened in the last game?
Yeah, last game, last weekend.
Good way to finish,
but nonetheless,
though,
they all got celebrated during the week. And
you just showed me the video before. It was great.
Wiley
had the little trophy with the coach. I love that at that age.
The coach presented two awards. One was the player's player, voted by their teammates, and one was the coach's player. And Wiley, of course, took home the coach's player.
That's better than the player's
and he was really chuffed with
that. That's the better trophy.
Yeah, he was really chuffed.
What would the players know?
Until we got home that afternoon on Tuesday and our new puppy dog, Buddy. No, I know, you know, he's a bit of a chewer.
You haven't run him
over. He's taken out all the socks. No, Buddy, as Wiley got up out of the car, Buddy jumped up onto Wiley, and because Wiley is only carrying one hand at the moment, he was carrying a few of these things, and one of them was the trophy, and the trophy fell to the ground and shattered into pieces.
Sorry.
The award that he had only just obtained so proudly.
How long are we talking?
An hour. An hour earlier, came home only to be knocked out by the new puppy and shattered in front of him. His dreams of coach's player.
What fell off? The head or arm?
The foot, the arm, the head, the body. It was two men entwined in a tackle together.
Wow.
And all of the little bits and pieces. The calf muscle. We were trying to find the calf muscle at one point. Shattered. And so there we were on the front driveway trying to pick up all the pieces, and then Wiley obviously devastated. Dad, can you fix it?
Trophy.
Yeah, Dad to the rescue said, we'll get the super glue out, son, and we'll fix it. And they sat there and they glued it together for the next 20 minutes.
Turn out all right.
Oh, look, he's a bit ski whiff. But
can I ask you, so that's an hour. I know people, I've known your story about somebody, this is a mate of mine, okay, paid, in the old days it was only 18,000, bought a car, brand new. Okay, drove out. He made it 200 metres involved in an accident.
No, no way.
Yeah. Try to beat that.
I mean, I thought 3 weeks was bad. I bought a new car 3 weeks ago. Got a ladder. Copped a ladder to the front headlight on the highway last week. How long did you have it before you broke it? I mean, it might be something, a small gestured like Wiley's trophy, but to him it's a big deal.
Jesus. You know when you leave the bottle shop, and you drop
a bottle. Drop the carton. Oh, no. 133353. Or text us on Marto's burner phone 0484 101045. How long did you have it before you broke it? Will from Bray Park. Good morning.
I used to be a rifle shooter back in my day.
Yeah.
So I've gone out and I bought a brand new rifle, put about 20 rounds through it, and the thing fell apart at the bloody range.
That's no
That's
good.
No good. Bad quality. Where'd you get it from?
How much?
Out of overseas.
China.
No, American-made Remington.
Goodness. Good name, yes. How long ago are we? Are we pre-96? What?
No. This was probably 2010.
Righto.
Just recently.
How much did it cost you?
$1,800.
Oh, just trying
20
to
rounds.
Get my head around the rifle market.
I don't really, not familiar with guns. Is it 20 bullets? Boom, 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 boom. That's 20 rounds,
not
is it?
Not that quick.
Not sure.
All right. That was 5 magazine changes.
Wait, what do you do?
Do you shoot? Cans of Coke?
Do you take the gun back to the shop and slam it down on the counter and this doesn't work, get me another one?
I took it back in the box,
yeah. Righto.
Get a new one. I hope he kept the receipt.
I thought this would be a better phoner than this. That was a bit sluggish, that bloke.
Jack, we got plenty of calls. Yeah. We just don't have time to get to everyone. Jacqueline from Shaler Park. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah.
Pressure's on.
How long did you have it for before you broke it?
Just over 24 hours, we purchased a Ford Tickford Limited Edition XR8 from the guy next door. He used to park it out the front of his house. We live on a main road.
No.
Never had any trouble. Yeah. We reversed it up out the front of our house when we bought it. It was just covered on insurance with a cover note. We just got it. That night, we heard an almighty bang. My husband ran out the front. The neighbours ran out the front and their jocks. My car was pushed back down to the front of the neighbour's house. The wheel and the axle were snapped off. Some drivers drove past and sideswiped my car and ruined it. They wanted to write it off, but we ended up having it fixed. And then it got stolen about when my husband was at work about 6 years later.
Jacqueline.
I loved it.
I think that's a bad omen. I don't think you're meant to have that car.
No, just look at it.
Jacqueline, I'm going to give you a double pass to Spring Loaded Triple M 90s present Spring Loaded 2021 featuring Grinspoon, UMI, The Super Jesus and more Saturday, June 19th, Sandstone Point Hotel.
Jacqueline would have cried.
Plenty of car stories. Ryan from Bendamba bought a new car and the water pump crapped itself just after he drove it. Tony from 8 Mile Plains, he bought a new GSX R750 out of the store and he scratched it already.
That's his motorbike. What about Courtney from True Vale? What do you got with Courtney? What's she
had? She had a crystal skull, got drunk and smashed it.
Oh, hold on. What? Courtney, that's about getting drunk.
Is that
drunk
one of those crystal skulls full of vodka?
Yeah, crystal skull vodka.
At least she got to drink it. Some people drop them before they get them home. Shane on the burner phone, I bought a brand new bike. I was loading into the ute and dropped it. Breaking the clutch lever. Oh, because they're just chrome. They fixed it for me for free. Oh, good. Because the owner of the shop said he hadn't laughed that long in ages. Lovely. Someone got some entertainment.
Take us home, Harry from Daisy Hill. How long did you have it before you broke it?
Hey, guys. How you going?
Yeah, good, Harry.
Sweet, bought a brand new car in the afternoon. I picked it up. I drove out. So I got handed the keys. And within about 2 minutes, they had a lawn maintenance bloke and he flung the whippersnipper around and flicked up a rock, smashed me windscreen before I pulled out the
drive. Oh, yeah. Harry, how do you get money out of those dudes when that happens?
Oh, it was a tough one. Just had to go back in and they sorted me out, which is pretty good. So.
Oh, righto.
I've got a new opportunity for a new jingle. Lucky you're with Amy.
Thanks, Harry. That's been great.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Yeah, that's about Origin tickets, but Wally would have been hanging his head in shame, the first ever Broncos captain at that 46-0 loss to the Rabbitohs last night, round 15. And as on our burner phone, Barry says, Barry from Oxley, when does this so-called Kevolution start? I know what you're saying.
It was sad to read in the paper this morning. I read online the Broncos being described as pathetic. Like, that's pretty rock bottom, isn't it? Like, I know we've been poor, and I feel bad for them. My son Wiley and I watched the game together last night, and he didn't want to leave at halftime. He wanted to watch because it was only 18-0, and he thought, Mum, the Broncos can come back. And then at the end of it, he just simply turned to me and he said, what's wrong with them?
Listen to this one. You ready?
I know, mate.
These are on the burner phone overnight. Mary from Elchester. This goes along with that. It's a sad state of affairs when my 8-year-old boy goes to bed in tears after a Broncos loss and then wakes up in the morning and asks if he can start following the Titans.
Oh, no.
Shame.
What about this one? Imagine having Reece Walsh and Sam Walker at your club and then letting them go so you can have Tyson Gamble and 87-year-old Carmichael Hunt in your side, Brad from Brighton reckons.
Let's talk Carmichael for one moment here.
Look, he's not an NRL player.
He's old.
Yeah.
His body can't do what his brain would like him to do. And that's for me. I think I could play for the Broncos, but I know I can't. And he's only 34. He shouldn't be out there. It's shameful.
What about Michael from Carina? The
Hold
best
on.
Part
can
about.
Can I just, before you read Michael out, this is exactly what I've written on my notes. I'm thinking like Michael, because if you're a Queensland fan, it's happened in the last few weeks, and a Broncos fan, read out Michael's. This is me.
The best part about being a Broncos fan, I'm no longer going to work on Friday hungover and tired. I can now go to bed stone cold sober before 9.
Have you noticed me on a Friday lately? I've been going to bed. And I haven't been rolling here going, oh, I'm crook. No, I'm bright-eyed bushy-tailed because the Broncos are so shat.
Kerry from Redbank Plains obviously was at the Broncos last night because two tickets to the Broncos cost $70. Two jerseys for my husband and I was $350. Two pies and two beers at the footy. Take out a second mortgage. The Broncos players again coming out and saying, we just didn't turn up today. Well, boys, keep going like this and us fans will stop turning up as well.
Less than 20,000 there last night. Ooh.
Hey, did you hear that they were giving away tickets? If you bought one, you got one free.
Are they doing that with the pies? I'd go then. Hey, listen, Kevy after the game, geez, his press conference went for a fair while. We can't play at all, obviously. But this is what he's saying. It's not now just a few little tinkering bits and pieces.
We've got a plan at our place. We've been saying it all year about restructuring our roster. So that's what it's about. We need to restructure our whole football club.
Blowing it up and going to start again.
Did you hear it? Like that press conference, like you said, it went. He said that, you know, we've got to do a restructure and we're going to have a big clean out. And then 5 minutes later, he goes, no, it's not a restructure. We've just got to have a good hard look at ourselves. Which one is it, Kev? Do you need to restructure or you just need to have a good hard look at yourself? Because if you had a good hard look at yourself, you'd bloody give yourself the...
Wouldn't you uppercut? Is that what you're saying?
I was going to say...
Were you going to say something else?
Give you the hook.
Oh, sack yourself.
Yeah, sack yourself.
No, well, listen, on that point, in the press conference that came out, 10 minutes into the game, somehow the Australian newspaper has released a story, and the commentators are all onto it, saying that Tevita Pangai Jr. has been told, go somewhere else.
He was told 2 days ago.
Kevy, on his day off.
On his day off, and then it was announced before the team
was about
to run off.
You've got to go to the barber / bikey headquarters to get your hair cut, and the Broncos say, come in, we need to have a chat, and they tell him you're free to have a look, to go and talk to the West Tigers.
2 years on his contract. What a shame.
Kevy did address it.
No real reason why Tevita. It's just, you know, we've got to restructure our roster. That's what we have to do. So not everyone can stay. So that's why.
That's why. Why can't everyone stay? Because they're not very good. That was 46-0. And hold on, if you go to the super coach and you keep hearing the rumours, Wayne's coming next year. Did he have any advice in his press conference?
How do you feel about the state of Broncos? What do you make of it?
You haven't got enough time for me to tell you, so move on. Next question. No advice. Struggling myself.
No advice.
Was that a scoff from Wayne? Have I got any advice? What do I think of them? Have you got enough time?
He copped a 50-point flogging a few weeks ago. Anyway, the Broncos, if you didn't hear, they're not going very well.
Hey, if you want to challenge your mates for the chance to win 50 grand, get on KFC Supercoach NRL. Register today, supercoach.com.au.
Marto, at the beginning of the show this morning, we reflected upon the week and all of the apologies we needed to make for those who we may have offended.
Hey.
But at the end of the show, we like to reflect on the good times and all of the hard work we did. And here's a little look at it.
The Big Breakfast, Players of the Week.
On Monday, kicked off the week with an injury at the Parker household. Margot's eldest son fractured his thumb ahead of his school athletics carnival. So he turned to his mum for advice.
Wiley deliberated with me last night over dinner. He said, Mum, should I run with my guard on or without the guard on? And I said, well, I think maybe with the guard so that it reminds you that it's there. And if you do fall, you don't put your hand down to protect yourself.
But it could unbalance you as you're running with you're using your arms to run.
He said, I could always knock the bloke out beside me to get ahead.
Spoken like the son of a rugby league player.
On Tuesday, we asked you to call in with your best battery-operated tool, and Paul from North Lakes called in with an amazing one, a remote control Esky.
The best thing about it is you drive it over to your mate. Where you want to be? Press the button, up it pops, grabs his beer, smacks down. Oi, want a beer over the other side? And everyone gets looked after.
Oh, you men are simple creatures, aren't you?
Are we? To Wednesday, and Marto brought the story of a couple of dumb criminals who, after a robbery, chose a pretty interesting getaway car.
But here's the dumb bit.
Attempting to make a getaway in a maxi-taxi.
Oh, for Christ.
Hey, get a getaway car. You have a guy out the front in a stolen vehicle and away you go. You don't go, get a tummy.
Maybe their driver called in sick that morning for the getaway car and they were left with no other option.
And yesterday on the show, during a chat about fire pits, Marto let Margot into the minds of married men everywhere.
Have you ever looked around at a barbecue when there's a fire burning and just notice that the women are congregating somewhere completely away from the fire
looking away.
Just men standing around with a beer in their hand staring into the fire. And I said to Corey, like, no one ever took
they know
don't
what we're
talk
thinking?
To each
Do you
other.
You know what we're thinking?
That's what I said to Corey, what are you thinking? He's
if
like,
I never got married, how good life would it be?
And now Friday, end of another week this morning on the show.
The business of the future, the marijuana farm, it's right next to Wellcamp Airport. The biggest one in the world, they're saying.
Growing 500 tonnes of cannabis a year.
What about
that?
I know, that's wow, all right. Like, we're always looking, could be a tourist attraction, like the Big Bong. You know, you just come on, walk through, like that'll be the merch centre.
And now let's wrap up the plays of the week with one of the great radio silences of all time, when Margot did what she loves to do most. Sing.
Lucky you're with Amy.
Thanks, Harry. That's been great.
Thanks, Harry. Thanks, Brisbane. Thanks, Marto and Margo. It's been great. See you next week.
Hey, want a beer over the other side?
Yes, thanks, Paul.